Every day makes me wanna holler, go away. I need more peace and hope and love. Where do I find it in this crazy old world?
I need strategies, strategies for every radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for every radio. Every time I listen, Lauren and David share strategies for living, and it makes me aware. I got strategies for living, strategies for living radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for living radio.
Oh yeah, we need them. Some days we need them more than others, but we need them always. Talking about strategies, right?
That's right.
So are you ready? You're ready for your daily dose of radio rehab? We call it strategies for living.
I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm good. Ready.
I'm glad. I'm Dr. David McMillan. She is psychotherapist, PLPC Lauren Leon McMillan. So, Lauren, let me ask you a couple of questions here.
Okay.
All right. So, what do these things have in common?
Mm-hmm.
Stopping yourself from buying this fantastic laptop because you want to save enough money to take your family on a nice vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Deciding to snack on baby carrots instead of chocolate ice cream so that you can stick to your diet and you can lose that weight that you said, you know, at the first of the year you were going to lose, right?
Yeah.
And resisting playing your favorite video game because you need to study for finals so that you can keep your scholarship. What do all those have in common?
I would say some form of self-discipline or devotion.
They all involve exercising self-control. It's the ability to resist urges and to behave in ways that line up with our values, our ideals, and our objectives.
Mm-hmm.
And, research shows that high self-control is associated with happiness, with life satisfaction, with health, and success in life, whether we're looking at romance or schoolwork or, marketplace and business.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the question. How do we get it? How do we get high self-control?
I'm guessing it's going to involve practice.
Well, there's actually...
And maybe a few strategies.
There's actually some hacks, and there's actually some science-based hacks that we're going to talk about today, a kind of metacognition, if you will, metacognitive knowledge for self-control. And we're going to talk about self-control today, and we're going to talk about some hacks that
we're hacking the control panel here.
We're hacking the, we're actually hacking the control panel. Yeah, we're talking about it today here on Strategies. Folks, thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you being a part of Strategies for Living. And we appreciate our sponsors making it all possible. The Robinson Film Center and Azalea Cleaners and Pintail Roofing and Learning RX and the Balanced Life Wellness Center and Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, Alligator Italian Sausage. Back in a moment, we're going to talk about successful self-control and some science-based hacks to get us there today on Strategies for Living.
Spirits free, living life
welcome in. Welcome into 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Welcome into another edition of Strategies for a Living. David McMillan here and Lauren Leon McMillan there. And we're talking about self-control today. And in fact, science-based hacks for self-control. I want to mention that I saw an article that, is kind of led to this program. Arash Imamzadeh, who is a psychological blogger in, he blogs in Psychology Today, wrote an article recently, the end of December, that I said, hey, that would be, you know, I'm always scouting.
Sure.
Right? You are too, for good strategies yep. programs. And this one caught my attention. This fella is has studied both clinical psychology and neuropsychology, and he is a poetry writer, and he blogs on he has a personal psychology blog. He also blogs on fear and anxiety. So this guy
sounds like a cool guy.
Yeah, sounds like a very cool guy. And when we talk about metacognition, that's a big word, right?
Thinking about thinking.
But it's thinking about thinking. Yeah. You know, it's breaking down our thinking. Our thinking is a process. And so, you know, sometimes I think I think we don't think enough about thinking about our thinking.
I think,
we take it for granted.
Right.
Then.
Well, yeah. I think a lot of us kind of are so intertwined with our thinking that we become to identify with it.
Yeah, we think we are our thoughts. Yeah.
Right. And so this, I say metacognition is a great superpower that, you know, we believe sets us apart as humans. Now we don't know, right? Because we're not in the dog or in the cat thinking about thinking.
Yeah, they may be highly advanced and we just don't know
it. But you know, this is what sets us up to be aware and then therefore have great power. If we can change our thoughts, we can change our lives.
Right. So at the top of the program, we talked about, all the situations that involved self-control. And in our life, there's a lot of them. The self-control basically is our ability to resist urges and to behave in ways that line up with our ideals and our objectives and our values, right?
I think a lot of times we have to be careful with self-control and not putting it in the kind of self-scourging category, right? Sometimes it's self-punishment.
Yeah.
And that's not what it is at its core, if you ask me.
Well, we're asking you because you're here and we're interested in what you have to say. I totally agree with you. I think, we're a lot of times we confuse the words discipline and punishment and we make them similar or really the same. And they're not.
Not at all.
Not at all. Discipline is about, in other words, the root of the word discipline is the same root as disciple. And actually, that root means to save the mind, if you take it all the way back into the Greek, right? And so when we are practicing self-discipline, that's not punishing ourselves. It's actually growing ourselves.
Absolutely. And it's like you say, it's the ability to act and think in alignment with what we think, with our values.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, you know, we can look at research and we can see that having high self-control correlates very highly with life satisfaction. It correlates with happiness, overall happiness. It correlates with health, good health, and whatever we define as success in life, whether that's romantic relationships or school success or work success. Again, we have to be careful because, correlation is not causation.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's, it may sound like we're being picky here, but we know that there's a high association between having self-control and those things. We don't know that they cause them.
Right.
Right. Right. We can't say that.
No, we can't say that for a fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what we do know is we do know that that correlation exists. So that association exists. So,
and it makes sense just on a theoretical level. Right. I mean, because if I feel like I am in control of the only thing that I truly am in control over, which is myself, that gives me great power. And from that place of true power, can I then really grow myself towards happiness, towards my true goals,
absolutely,
towards others in relationship without this sense of I need something external because I am in control of me.
Right.
Yeah.
So when we think about thinking, you know, when we focus in on metacognition, big word that just simply means thinking about our thinking, right?
Right.
Then there are really three types of metacognitive knowledge, knowledge about thinking. There's strategic, there's task-oriented, and there's personal knowledge. Let's spend a little bit of time on each one because they're all important. So task-oriented knowledge involves the awareness of the demands of a task. So for instance, if I'm going to start a new exercise program, how physically demanding is it going to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm starting a program where I'm working with a trainer and I'm scheduled at 5 a.m. every morning. Okay, well, there's going to be some physical demands, you know, so on me, and I have to be aware of that. What are the if I want to get my or I want to organize my finances, right?
Mm-hmm.
I might have to go through some tedious paperwork,
right?
Or maybe if I'm starting a new diet, that I don't think about it, but it's emotionally draining.
Ooh,
right?
Yeah, can be.
So that's all task-oriented knowledge. Then there's strategic knowledge. And strategic knowledge is about knowing the self-regulatory strategies and tactics. So, for example, knowing that one way to stick to your diet or exercise program is by thinking about positive consequences.
Mm.
In other words, I'm losing weight and looking better, looking slim, feeling good, being healthy. All of those things are associated with losing the weight.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's personal knowledge, and that's my own beliefs. You know, so it's about, you know, in this case, what do I believe about self-control? Its weaknesses and strengths, and how my ability to exercise self-control might, you know, compare to other people, you know. For instance, people who believe self-control is an unlimited resource, right, might set more goals for themselves, right?
Yeah.
Why not, right?
Well, it's unlimited, so yeah.
So if I'm really going to dig in here and think about the thinking, you know, if I'm going to do this metacognitive analysis, I might want to ask myself some questions that are important. And I can do that with personal and task and strategic knowledge, okay?
Okay.
So for the personal knowledge, I might want to ask myself, what are my beliefs about self-control? What do I believe about it? Do I believe it can be changed?
Mm.
And is self-control a limited resource or is it an unlimited resource, right?
Yep.
From a task knowledge point of view, I want to ask, well, what characteristics of this task require self-control? And in what way is the task demanding? In other words, is it repetitive or is it just downright boring? Is it unfamiliar? Is it fast-paced? Is it unpredictable? And is the task physically demanding? Is it emotionally draining? Is it mentally challenging? Or maybe some combination of these, right?
Right.
Right. And then from a strategic knowledge point of view, can you change the situation or the environment at all?
Mm.
You know, sometimes we can, right?
Right.
But sometimes, oftentimes we can't.
Right.
You know, the serenity prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept those things I can't change, the courage to change what I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Mm-hmm. Is it possible to alter the activity itself? And are you able to use any attentional or cognitive strategies, right? Mm-hmm. And so we can take and we can use these ideas of thinking about thinking, this metacognition, and bring it to bear on self-control.
Yeah.
And by doing this, you know, we're stacking the deck in our favor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why do so many of us set those goals for ourselves at the end of the year or the beginning of the year? And I think the date is set. There's a date in February that is.
Yeah, the breakup date.
The breakup date. Yeah. And there's a particular date that is associated with most people giving up mm-hmm. their New Year's resolutions. Well, the question begs, well, why do so many of us go to the trouble of setting those goals and then giving up on them? Well, maybe
one of these pieces is, yeah, can solidify maybe, that foundation for you.
Right. Maybe some of what we're talking about this evening here is really getting at, okay, well, understanding if I want to do these things, you know, I've got to, you know, I got to dig in. I got to know. I got to understand a little bit more about myself and about the way I think. Not just taking it for granted, you know?
No, it's foundational for how we act and behave and live.
We are actually talking about some science-based hacks today for self-control, better self-control. We're going to get to some strategies, too, so hang in there. Much more to learn, much more to come here on Strategies for Living. Be right back. Hey, let's talk about the Robinson Film Center. You know, I say it a lot. There's no place like the
Absolutely
Robinson.
Absolutely, there is not.
617 Texas Street, downtown Shreveport. You've got so much. You've got the movies. You got Abby Singer's Bistro on the second floor of RFC, open for lunch and dinner Tuesday through Saturday.
Newly remodeled.
Absolutely. Great menu. RobinsonFilmCenter.org is the way you check it all out. You can go to RobinsonFilmCenter.org at any time and find out what movies are showing. Here's the deal. You want to join the crowd, join the fun, become a member. When you become a member, you become a star. Mm-hmm. You get discounts on movies. You get concession upgrades. You get bistro deals. RFC, 617 Texas Street in downtown Shreveport. I'll say it again. There's no place like the Robinson.
There is not, and I'm glad we have one right here.
Absolutely. The Robinson Film Center.org.
Reading begins not in the classroom, but in your child's brain. I'm Donisa Walker with LearningRx Shreveport. If your child struggles to read, maybe he or she has trouble focusing or comprehending, LearningRx Shreveport offers a science solution to reading problems. Working one-on-one with your child, targeting his or her reading skills. Today, call LearningRx Shreveport. Make an appointment to have your child assessed. I know you want to help your child. So does LearningRx Shreveport.
Facing the same old problems day to day. Makes you want to holler, get away. Looking for the road that'll get me there. Looking for hope and peace to spare. Looking for strategies, strategies for living radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for living radio.
And we're getting into these strategies here on Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan. David McMillan talking about some science-based hacks today for better self-control.
Mm-hmm.
Something that many of us could use. I think all of us could use more self-control.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially in this fast-paced, instant gratification age, right?
Amen. Amen.
It's so easy to get stuck on the doom-scrolling
Right. Trend. So we talked about the different kinds of metacognition, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about strategic knowledge, and we talked about task knowledge, and we talked about personal knowledge. So if we understand, you know, if we understand strategic knowledge, what are some strategies? So using these strategies, these techniques would involve changing the environment or altering the task. One of the techniques is called task enrichment. Okay?
Okay.
And this is especially effective when whatever the chore is in question is fairly repetitive and simple. Okay?
Okay.
So, for instance, if you're folding and taping up moving boxes, we've recently been familiar with that.
Done that.
Or we're stuffing envelopes, or we're folding clothes, or we're washing ditches, right? Mm-hmm. We can enrich the task by maybe there's that audio book I've been wanting to read, right?
Right.
And so I pick that audio book out, and I pair that with doing that task,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Or
music.
I've got a music list. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a particular music list that I love this music. And so I can look forward then. I'm not looking forward to folding the clothes, right? Or washing the dishes, but I am looking forward to listening to my music list.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It's yeah. It's a spoonful of sugar, right?
Helps there you
the
go.
Medicine go down.
Mary Poppins was right.
You know, another way is just to gamify a task.
Right.
Right? To make it like, okay, if I do this, then I get to go do something else that I enjoy, or I
right.
get to enjoy a snack or a treat.
It there
doesn't
you go.
Have to be food. It can be something you enjoy doing.
Yeah. All right. Now, so that's if the task is simple, but what if the task is complex?
Okay.
Maybe a task that requires your full attention. So maybe studying for a big test, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you may want to reduce the external stimulation. So for example, wearing earplugs in a noisy environment, right,
mm-hmm.
might help you to cut down. If I'm studying, even in the library,
yep.
there's still noise,
right.
you know, in the library, right? Unless you get into one of those quiet, you can find one of those quiet rooms.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if libraries still have those. I know
when I was in college.
Yeah, me too.
Some, yeah.
It was important sometimes for me to find one of those rooms.
Well, because there's different types of people. I mean, some people really work better with the flowing of people with that slight distraction in the background, and other people need complete silence or complete distraction free.
Then there's the attentional or cognitive strategies, okay?
Okay.
So these would include some kind of distraction, goal setting, thinking of the consequences, and rewarding yourself for the completion of the task.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so one of the most...
That's what I was suggesting earlier.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the most effective emotion regulation strategies for successful self-control is reappraisal. And what reappraisal involves is changing how you think about a situation to change how you feel about the situation.
Mm. Yeah.
All right.
This is something I've done actually a lot fairly recently within the last couple of years with a bunch of like household chores,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so instead of thinking, well, I have to do the laundry or I have to do the dishes, I take the stance of, wow, I have these clothes and I have these dishes to eat off of. And so I practice some form of gratitude. I have shifted from this is something I have to do to this is something I want to do. And I want to express my appreciation for having these things.
Right. One thing that we've talked about before, Lauren, is something that counselors learn in school. It's reframing,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so you can reframe a task as an opportunity, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So let's say you need to have a talk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's with somebody that you supervise at work, right? But you keep putting it off. Or maybe it's your child. Could you reframe that as an opportunity to get to know either the person that you work with or your child better?
Yes.
And communicate more effectively? That's reframing.
Yeah, an opportunity to get closer. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and if we interpret the situation in that way, it can reduce the anticipatory anxiety about it, you know, and maybe even we get depressed about, oh, I got to have this talk and I don't want to have this talk, you know.
Right.
So that's anticipatory depression and anxiety. But by changing and reframing the way I'm looking and thinking about the situation, you know, it helps me feel more grounded, more confident, really more in control during the talk. Now, some people, I'm very much aware that some people may be listening to us and saying, well, aren't you just playing mind, aren't you just playing mind games?
Yeah, aren't you just brainwashing?
Aren't you just brainwashing? Or they might use another word, right?
Wouldn't you rather do it yourself than have someone else do it, though?
Absolutely.
that's my pat response to that.
Yeah, and my response to would be, absolutely, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm not going to deny that that's what I'm doing, because sometimes we, again, this is all part of thinking about our thinking. It's the metacognitive strategies here
that we're talking about. And a huge piece of self-control. If you want to be able to control or to be in charge of a situation, you have to understand it. You have to know it better. And so part of self-control is to understand and know yourself.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you have to know the way that you're thinking in order to alter that so that you can go in the direction and control more of what you want.
Yeah. Well, and again, let's talk about when we talk about self-control, you know, what are we really talking about here? Self-control.
It's the ability to, really the way I look at it is it's a way to regulate your emotions and your thoughts.
Yep.
And behaviors then therefore, right? It's not about we can't actually control what we think, but we can regulate. We can't control our feelings,
right,
but we can regulate and we can choose how we respond to those and what we do with them.
Yeah, and so again, to break that down, it's we're managing our own impulses and emotions and behaviors,
right,
is what we're doing.
And really what it is at the heart of it, you know, is the art of the pause.
Mm.
That's what I would break it down to it. It's very simple.
Yep.
Right? Self-regulation, self-control is simply practicing the art of the pause.
And when we do that, what are we really doing scientifically? Because we know that self-control is primarily rooted in the prefrontal cortex, right? Which is our planning, our problem solving, our decision-making center of the brain.
Right.
And that is significantly larger in we humans than in other mammals,
exactly,
right? So you could say it's what really makes us human.
That's what we think.
That's right. And so the richness of nerve connections in the prefrontal cortex enables people to plan, to evaluate alternative actions, to ideally avoid doing things they'll regret later, right?
Right.
Rather than just immediately giving in to self-gratification and impulse as it arises. So, I mean, this ability to regulate your emotions and behavior is a key aspect of executive functioning.
Right.
And executive functioning is that suite of skills that allow an individual to plan, to monitor, and to attain their goals, right?
Yes. And so knowing this, I want to go ahead and bring in this piece, this very important piece in self-control called self-compassion. Okay. Because when we're starting to involve the prefrontal cortex, which we know takes a great deal of time to develop, first of all, right?
Yep.
But then we don't always develop it to its potential, even, right, as adults.
Yeah.
And the instinct or impulse is to act on our habits. And so to bring in that prefrontal cortex takes time, it takes effort, it takes energy, and it takes consistent time, effort, and energy.
So you got to be in the process
of
practicing this, you need to be kind to yourself, compassionate to yourself. Because it's just not just a matter of snapping your fingers and being able to change, right?
Yeah.
And also with others that we're working with, you know, as we're asking them perhaps to make changes, you know. Again, this is important stuff.
It is.
You know?
And it underscores our potential as humans, but we also have to have patience with ourselves as we're developing that.
Yeah, definitely. We're practicing some metacognition today. We're thinking about our thinking, and we're actually developing and giving some strategies that are science-based because they're metacognitive on self-control today here on Strategies for Living. And we've even got more, so stay with us. More to come on Strategies. Be right back.
To your table, we're keeping it alive with flavors from the family passed down to survive. The Godfather's here with a twist in the tail, alligator Italian sausage, and it sure won't fail. It's the boss of the bayou, a taste you can't refuse. Italian tradition, Cajun infused. Sausage, bold and true. Padres, bring in the bayou to you.
Get the Godfather, alligator Italian sausage only at Fertitta's Delicatessen, 1124 Fairfield Avenue in Shreveport. Pick up a Muffy while you're there. The Godfather, alligator Italian sausage. It's a taste you can't refuse. Sold only at Fertitta's, 1124 Fairfield Avenue in Shreveport.
Dealing with stress? Pain? Feel like you're running out of options? When your life is balanced, wellness is a given. True wellness is holistic. It's about the mind, the body, and the spirit, all in balance. Now, there's a place right here in Shreveport that's all about helping us achieve peak mental, emotional, and physical health. The Balanced Life, 117 Kings Highway, right next door to Strawn's. Come see and feel the difference getting your life in balance can be. Many of your friends and neighbors have already learned the difference less stress and pain mean in their lives. You can book a discovery session right now online, thebalancedlife.us. All you've got to lose is stress, pain, or maybe both. Come see and feel for yourself the real difference balanced wellness makes. The Balanced Life Wellness Center, 117 Kings Highway in Shreveport, next door to Strawn's. TheBalancedLife.us.
And welcome back in. Welcome back into 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel. We're talking about Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. We're talking about science-based hacks for self-control today. Doing a little metacognition and thinking about our thinking when it comes to our self-control, our willpower. Lauren, let me raise a question here.
Okay.
Because, you know, self-control is willpower. Is this an infinite resource or a finite resource, this thing called willpower, our ability to exert self-control?
So This is coming from my grandfather. Always used to say, if there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah.
So I think he would argue that it's definitely an infinite resource.
Okay, but you know, and maybe Grandpa didn't, there's a significant debate in science.
Yep.
As to whether willpower is a finite resource. There's some studies that say that exercising willpower makes demands on our mental energy.
Mm-hmm.
And this concept, it's called ego depletion,
right,
is one possible explanation for why individuals are more apt to reach for that chocolate chip cookie or that Southern made donut when they're feeling stressed or overworked, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
However, recently scientists have failed to replicate some of the studies that underlie the concept of ego depletion. So a better understanding of why individuals give in to some impulses but are able to successfully resist others, that's a critical thing for helping people, especially people who suffer from impulsivity or addictive behaviors or even eating disorders.
Yeah.
Now, did you ever study the marshmallow test?
Absolutely.
Okay,
yes.
So do you remember enough about it to share what is the marshmallow test?
Yeah, I think so. So in the marshmallow test, they were toddlers, I believe. They gave them a marshmallow in the testing room.
Right.
And told them, now I need you to wait. And if you wait, I'll give you another marshmallow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then so the researchers left the toddlers with the marshmallow on the table in front
right.
of them.
Right.
And came back a few minutes later, and if the toddler had eaten the marshmallow, nothing bad happened. You know, they got to eat the marshmallow.
Right.
But if they hadn't, they gave them a second marshmallow.
Okay.
And so it was just this test of, you know, self-control, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the interesting piece here, if I'm remembering correctly, was that there was a significant correlation
right.
with those toddlers who were not able to resist the temptation in
right.
the moment, right?
Right.
Including, you know, some jail time for several
Well,
of them
they had more behavioral problems. It correlated with more behavioral problems. And the ones that did show that they could wait correlated with things like better grades in school.
Right. Well, because what they eventually did was they followed these kids as they grew up, and that's how they accumulated that information.
Right. So it's become a pretty famous thing. There's been books written on it. The marshmallow test may not actually reflect self-control, which is what we're talking about today. But,
right.
you know, it's like lead us not into temptation, right? And our temptation always is to overgeneralize and jump to conclusions, right?
Yep.
So we got to be careful there. But still, there's when we look at this, we can, there's knowledge to be gained. There's something to be gained by looking at this material and understanding
it. And recognizing the importance and the payoff of practicing and stretching our self-control muscle,
yes.
if you will.
Yes.
Right?
Most definitely. So how do we regulate? How do we strengthen our self-control? I mean, are there good ways to do that?
I think, definitely. And before we move in there, I was just thinking, you know, just like M. Scott Peck says, part of discipline is disciplining discipline.
Mm-hmm.
I think that comes into play big time here.
Another
as
word
well.
He used for that was balance.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The ability to balance and say, you know, because I think that's where, okay, maybe at the end of the day, you know that your willpower is fatigued and you know that you're more likely to reach for the cookie or whatever.
Yeah.
And so that's when you discipline, right? You say, okay, well, I can have this, you know, I'm going to let myself do this. Or, you know, you put it out of reach. You develop strategies around balancing that. And that's where compassion comes in.
Right.
Well,
I remember years ago I was working with a lady who desperately wanted to lose some weight and really did need, from a health point of view, to lose weight. Mm-hmm. We were talking one day, and, Southern Made Donuts actually came up.
Yeah.
You know, and she just made the off remark that she just had the hardest time. It was almost impossible for her to avoid that box of Southern Made Donuts in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked, you know, what seemed to me to be a reasonable question. Well, how did the Southern Made Donut box get in the kitchen?
Right.
Oh, well, I buy a box a week. And so, you know, and she'd never really, that's our point in doing this today, right?
Just to think.
Thinking about thinking. It had never occurred to her,
mm-hmm.
you know, okay, well, she said, I really like and look forward to my snacks. As it turned out, she also liked some fairly healthy things like crunchy celery and carrots.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, I asked the obvious question, what would happen if you decided to quit going every week and buying that dozen, box of Southern Made Donuts? Well, my grandkids, when they came over, would be disappointed. Okay, well, would they get over that? Probably.
Mm-hmm. And it'd probably be better for them, too.
Probably.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Southern Made Donuts,
no,
you know. But anyway, you know, again, being the point here is being willing to do this metacognition, mm-hmm. asking the questions, thinking about our own thinking.
Yeah, and just recognizing where are you getting in your own way.
Yeah, recognizing.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to look at your own thinking.
To cognize
and rethink
again.
It. Yep. Think again.
Yep.
And you know, again, I'm not being critical of that. This was this lady is a very smart lady.
Yep.
Who just, you know, like a lot of us, struggle with, the things that we struggle with, right? Mm-hmm. Talking about self-control today. And what are some strategies? Thinking about our thinking, metacognition, to make it a little easier to come up with strategies to manage this self-control piece. Makes us human. Makes us very human, right? Get that prefrontal cortex built up, right? Talking about it today on Strategies. We'll be right back.
You're going to see the difference when you go to Azalea Cleaners. You'll hear about it, too. Azalea Cleaners has been fine dry cleaning since 1958, plus laundry, alterations and repairs, comforters, wedding gown cleaning and restoration. You'll hear about it from your friends because they'll see it, too. They'll notice the Azalea difference. Azalea is convenient. 732 Azalea Drive, 9220 Ellerby Road, and 9227 Mansfield Road. Plus, the front door of your home or business with Azalea's delivery on demand. Just text SETUP to 249-8283, and Azalea will pick up your clothes and deliver them back clean and fresh to you. You can't get closer than that. That's the Azalea difference. You'll notice it right away. Others will too. The Azalea difference. Fine dry cleaning since 1958. Text SETUP to 249-8283 and get the Azalea difference. AzaleaCleaners.com.
Hi, this is Jay Merle for Pintail Roofing. Let's talk about quality. When you hire Pintail to build your roof, here's what you can expect. Quality and quality control are the most important concerns for us at Pintail, and you need to know that Pintail stands tall with swift and professional performance on any warranty call. This is our most important policy. And remember, we're your neighbors. We'll be here for you for the long haul. Our family's lived here for over 100 years, and we aren't going anywhere. On the commercial side of Pintail's business, our fluid-applied roofing solutions can save thousands of dollars over conventional commercial roofing options. Call Pintail at 226-ROOF for a free inspection of your home or commercial building. That's 226-7663. Pintail Roofing. What's the condition of your roof?
Facing the same old problems day to day. Makes you want to holler, get away. Looking for the road that'll get me there. Looking for hope and peace to spare. Looking for strategies, strategies for living radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for living radio.
Yeah, sometimes we all need a little help finding and staying on the road, right? I think we've been talking about that today here on Strategies. Welcome back, folks, to 101.7 FM, 710 KEO. Been talking about self-control today and metacognitive strategies to improve our self-control. What are you taking away from our time today, our program today, Lauren?
Well, I learned something new today. I wasn't aware of the three different types of metacognition.
Yeah.
And so that was interesting. And so being able to apply those.
Yeah. It's a way to break down thinking about our thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I like that. But also,
not a one size fits all.
No. And you know, just being able to balance, okay, this is a new task that I want to do. And how can I reorient myself and my thinking towards bettering myself?
Yeah.
And balancing that with kindness and compassion, right?
There you go. And when I do that over time, I'm growing.
Absolutely.
I'm strengthening that muscle. Strengthening that prefrontal cortex. I'm improving my executive functioning. Mm-hmm. The part of us that really makes us most human, sets us apart. So there you go.
Sounds good.
Thank you. Thank you, folks. Thank you for being with us here on Strategies for Living. We do this every day. We enjoy doing it for you, and we enjoy and are able to do it because of our wonderful sponsors. So make sure you tell them, the Robinson Film Center and Azalea Cleaners and Pintail Roofing and Learning RX and the Balanced Life Wellness Center. And for Tita's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, alligator, Italian sausage, and some pretty good muffies, too. If today were the last day of your life, you only had one more phone call that you could make, who would you call? And what would you say? And why are you waiting? Make the call. For Lauren Leon McMillan, I'm David McMillan. See you next time, right here on Strategies for Living.